ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय अचक्षुर अंधस्य यथा ग्रंथि कृतस् तथा जनस्य विदुषो बुधो गुरु त्वं अर्क दृक् सर्व दृशां समिक्षणो वृतो गुरु न स्व गतिं बबुत्सतम् अचक्षुरन्धस्य यथा ग्रन्थि कृतस् तथा जनस्य विदुषो भुरो गुरुः त्वमर्कदृक् सर्वदृशं समिक्षण वृतो गुरु न स्वगतिं भवुत्सतम् Achakshuhu, one who does not have his power of sight. Andhasya, for such a blind person. Yata, as. Agranti, the leader who goes first. Krita, accepted. Tata, similarly. Janasya, such a person. Avidusha, who has no knowledge of the goal of life. Abudaha, a foolish rascal. Guru, the spiritual master. Tvam, your lordship. Arkadrik, appear like the sun. Sarvadrisham, of all sources of knowledge. Samikshana, the complete seer. Vrita, accepted. Guru, the spiritual master. Na, our. Swagatim, one who knows his real self-interest. Bhubhutsatam, such an enlightened person. Translation. As a blind man, being unable to see, accepts another blind man as his leader. People who do not know the goal of life accept someone as a guru who is a rascal and a fool. But we are interested in self-realization. Therefore, we accept you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as our spiritual master. For you are able to see in all directions and are omniscient like the sun. Purport. The conditioned soul, being wrapped in ignorance and therefore not knowing the goal of life, accepts a guru who can juggle words and make some display of magic that is wonderful to a fool. Sometimes a foolish person accepts someone as a guru because he can manufacture a small quantity of gold by mystic yogic power. Because such a disciple has a poor fund of knowledge, he cannot judge whether the manufacture of gold is the criterion for a guru. Why should one not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, from whom unlimited numbers of gold mines come into being? Aham sarvasya prabhavo matas saradam pravartite. All the gold mines are created by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, why should one accept a magician who can manufacture only a small portion of gold? Such gurus are accepted by those who are blind. Not knowing the goal of life, Maharaj Satyavrata, not knowing the goal of life. Such gurus are accepted by those who are blind, not knowing the goal of life. Maharaj Satyavrata, however, knew the goal of life. He knew the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he accepted the Lord as his guru. either the Supreme Lord or his representative can become guru. The Lord says, "Mam eva ye prapadyante mayam eta etam tarantite." One can get relief from the clutches of maya as soon as he surrenders unto me. Therefore, it is the guru's business to instruct his disciple to surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he wants relief from the material clutches. This is the symptom of the guru. The same principle was instructed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jari deka tari kaha Krishna upadesh. In other words, one is advised not to accept a guru who does not follow the path of instruction given by Lord Krishna. So, here, Satyavrata Maharaj, in accepting the Supreme Lord as his guide, as his guru, then he's pointing out that this most important element here is the ability to guide, the ability to give direction. That this is the most important aspect that we gain from the spiritual master. That the spiritual master will give us directions according to the previous acharyas, according to what Krishna has established, and then those who are coming in this line from Krishna. Because the instruction must come from Krishna. Religion comes from Krishna. It cannot come from somewhere else. So all forms of religion are coming from Krishna. And we see that of those, then that which gives pure love of God or devotional service, that is the best of all religious processes. So then here, then he's pointed out that this instruction that one receives, that is the best. Otherwise, in so many things one may get from Guru, as he gives the example, someone may get some gold from the Guru. Guru may, you come to him, he'll give something, some gold, some ash, something like this, and then he is Guru. But this is not the standard of guru. But foolish persons cannot understand this. Once we were visiting one house in South India, we had been invited for lunch, some Brahmin's house. And also there was one other sadhu was there. I'm not sure if he was a South Indian sadhu or a North Indian, but whatever, seemed to be a North Indian sadhu. So then they were sitting there, and I think it was after the meal, then some light discussion was there. And this sadhu was saying, we went to this one person, such a guru. Never seen a guru like this before. And he's saying, what is special? He says, we went there, and then he held out his hand, and just from nowhere gave us a fresh, crisp 100 rupee note. You know, this would have been 74. So 100 rupees was a lot in those days. So this sadhu was impressed. Fresh, it had not even wrinkled like that, you know, just like that. So then he was saying that this person was great guru, very special guru. So that was he could produce that, so something special. You can do something that's different. Prabhupada also says many, they write these books and they're so ununderstandable that you feel, must be something special, I can't understand it. So this person is guru. But here, Satyavrata Maharaj, he's pointing out that a slightly different approach, that one can give knowledge about the absolute destination, the supreme destination, that one can give the direction on how to obtain to pure love for Krishna. That then becomes the real guru. That is the best of gurus. That is important. So here we see the instruction is the most important thing. So if someone can carry the instruction, the supreme instruction that has come from the Lord, this person is guru. So this point here, Jari Deka Tari Koha Krishna Upadesh, Lord Chaitanya was instructing this to all his devotees. So this is the standard of Guru, is that he is heard and he can give that to others. This is one definition called Anuchana. Anuchana means one who has heard these scriptures and one who has understood and can repeat them as he has heard them. Not like a parrot, means by understanding, like that. That makes what's the Anuchana special, is that they understand what they're saying and can give the conclusions as they have heard it from their authorities. So this is what one is looking for. This is the spiritual path, this is the spiritual master. And this is actually the duty of all those who are coming in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is to give this knowledge to others. So this means we must hear what we hear, we must contemplate, we must try to practice it, and in that contemplation and practice, then that understanding we gain from it, that then we speak to others, like that. And even if we don't have realization, what we have heard, we know it's coming from good source, good authority, then we speak that. So in any case, whether one realizes it or not, the truth can be spoken. But the best is that one has understanding, and then one is able to clearly apply it, clearly give it. It means it will be more efficient. The truth is always the truth, but then we see in certain situations, you may want to speak it in a certain way for the audience. So if you have understanding, you can do that. If you don't have understanding, then you repeat what you know. And the effect of the truth will be there, like that. If it's spoken sincerely, then we see the effect is there. Prabhupada mentions a child can say anything. There's nothing a young child can't do, can't say, or an old man can't do. So here we see the children can say anything because of their innocence. So if we are actually humble, then even if we don't have great realization, if we speak what we have heard, then it will have effect. Like, it has effect on people. People, the truth, speaking in a very unbiased way, it has effect on people. When there's a bias to it or some other thing, then there's the tendency to feel something is, there's some motive here, something behind it, even though it may be correct. But because of that flavor, then it's not necessarily felt to be acceptable. So if that flavor is not there, it's presented in a pure way, like that. That is the criterion that for accepting a guru and for being a guru, for preaching, is that accepting the authority of the previous acharyas and according to their direction, then speaking. So here then, another aspect we see is in the equation, is here is a bona fide guru, but also we see that bona fide disciple is mentioned. That Satyavrata Maharaj, he knew the goal of life. So someone doesn't know the goal of life, then he, of course, naturally he may pick someone who is not proper. But someone who knows the goal of life, then he can pick someone who's proper. So we see also it is the duty of the student or the disciple to also know what is the process, what is the goal, and then what are the symptoms of that. By studying the scriptures, by hearing, then one gets to understand what is the proper standard. And understanding the standard, then one can properly approach. One can decide, this person can help me or this person cannot help me. Maybe this person can help me financially, but not necessarily spiritually. Right? I guess it depends upon how much, what's the quantity and quality of what he's, you know. Nowadays, blessings would have to come in 1,000 rupee notes to have some significance, like that. But so therefore, also it is our position that we must be educated. And we must know what is the goal, and we must want that goal. Satyavrata Maharaj wants this. Therefore, he is able to understand that the Supreme Lord can guide him, and the Supreme Lord is the person who can give him what he needs. So in this way, then, he has approached.
Any questions on this? No? Very good. Yes.
So many varieties of moods in a guru. The guru also manifesting in many. So for the mind of a young student or a child, how to just make one level of guru and then in sense of respect, but at the same time there are different presence.
Means we understand that here, Satyavrata is pointing out, is Krishna is the guru. He's the original guru. He's the supreme guru. But for two reasons, then he comes to us through others. One is that if the conditioned soul, then they have a difficulty in approaching the supreme Lord because of their material coverings. So even though Krishna is giving direction as the super soul, we have a tendency to not listen. You know, or not hear. You know, even if we hear, we don't listen. You know, sometimes we get good advice from others, but we can't accept it because of our conditioning, our attachments. So for that reason, then it's good if someone else is there and ensures you do it. Otherwise you think, well, maybe I'll do this, maybe I won't. And then they'll say, no, it should be done. And then it's kind of like, okay, then you adjust with that. Otherwise, one's own mind, then we'll do, we won't do, this will happen, that won't happen. So many, it may be very sporadic, like that. This is not spontaneous, this is sporadic. It's just the mind, whatever comes up, then that is there. So that's one reason. The other reason is that we approach Krishna through his devotees, like that. We see that that is the mood. So that is the position, is that they all approach through the devotees. Because that makes for the pastime. The pastime of the Lord is through. Someone may say, but here he's approaching Satyavrata, approaching Matsya. But we see Matsya as an incarnation. And then, in this way, he will worship the Supreme Beings, how you say. He has come, but he's given these instructions. You see, he's being instructed by the sages as a king. They're also there. So he's getting instructions from others. So the principle is being there, that one will approach through others. So he is mentioning him as the supreme spiritual master. He's not saying he is the or the only spiritual master, but the supreme. So if one understands this, then one can see that there is going to naturally be grades within the transcendental instruction. And then that is also reflected into the material world. So in the transcendental, there is the Supreme Lord. Then there is the servants of Krishna. Then there are their main assistants. And then there, you know, this is the parampara. There's the spiritual master. And then there's others who are also representing the same truth. Means we see the teachers are representing, the parents are representing, the leaders of the community, the temple authorities. In so many ways, and all this is guru. Guru means one who is senior. Technically, even one is seen that, you know, someone older is on that level. Though, there's more or less formality. The higher up, generally more formal. The lower down, less formal. Like this. So one should be able to distinguish that those in a senior position are guru. They can give instruction, they can give direction, they can give example. But then one has to see what also in relationship, what is their instruction? And is, you know, purely spiritual, or it's showing us how the spiritual is involved in the material, or material teaching, like this, or material teaching and showing how that is connected to Krishna. So one distinguishes between these. So someone who only gives material instruction, they're still guru. But higher than that is someone who can show us how that material connects to spiritual. Like that. That's better. And then, more important of the instructions is then the pure transcendental. Like that. So then we see that there's gradations in this. So the basic principle is they should understand everybody
basically older than them as guru, like that. You know, if they're in some position to give some direction or authority, or, you know, they themselves, even if they're not specifically, they may be for someone else. Right? It may not be your father, but there's someone's father. It may not be your mother, there's someone's mother. So therefore, then there is some, you know, respect should be there. They're seen as gurus. So if they give some instruction, it is taken. But it naturally will not be, should not be in conflict with the instructions of those gurus who are taking responsibility for your life. Right? It means you have just the senior member in the community and you have the temple president. The president is taking more responsibility. So of the two, there should not be conflict. You take what's valuable, and where there's kind of conflict, then you adjust that with who is actually taking responsibility. If there's no conflict, then all can be taken. Or elders from another family and elders from your own family, you know, or someone else who's a teacher and your teacher, or other sadhus and your own guru, like this, or other acharyas, our acharya. So you see that they must match. So what matches is taken. What's not, then it either has to be, you see the principle that they're giving some detail, and you see what is the principle that they're speaking about, and take that and apply it to the detail of one's own guru. Like this. So that means it takes some training, some maturity. But it first starts with respect. If there's no respect, then there can be no learning like that. There can be no finer qualities. You know, if the children can't respect adults or even respect each other, then they'll never progress. They won't. You know, they'll get more refined, because with time you understand, not that it's you value respect, you just notice that it gets things done. You know, you don't have respect for the boss, but if you act like you do, then it's better. You know, you don't really respect somebody, but if you go up to them and speak nice words, sweet words, then maybe you can get done what you want to get done. So it's simply on the platform of artha and kama. It's not dharma. Dharma is you respect because they're in a position that's respectable. Their position is empowered by the potency of Krishna. Right? People are empowered to be mothers or fathers or teachers or administrators or gurus like this. So that position must be respected. It's Krishna's potency. He's the guru. And it's represented through this person. That's dharma. That's a different platform. It's being done because it should be done. You must respect. That's the minimum. That's just the pious, you know, because, you know, it's proper. It gives proper results. More is because we understand its connection to Krishna, the benefits connected to Krishna, rather than, if I don't do it, then I'll get a bad reaction. But it's actually what's pleasing to Krishna. Does that make some sense?
Any other devotee? When you already accept the form of guru, Diksha guru, you surrender in a particular way, along the path, it's very much needed to have more instructing gurus, shiksha gurus. What is the formality of taking shelter of the guru to learn more of the guidance?
There's no real formality in shiksha. Shiksha, it doesn't depend so much on the formality. But it means there'll still be some formality in dealings. But it's not based on ritual. Diksha is based on ritual. Because diksha is for connecting is for purifying our conditioned nature. And siksha does that also, but its primary thing is to help us develop the attraction to Krishna. Like that. So the diksha guru has both of those duties, and the siksha gurus will assist in that. One has to distinguish of the levels here. Means that instruction must be coming from the right source. That is what must be given. That's what makes guru. So for us, then, what is coming from Prabhupada's books and his teachings, you know, which is, he is taking then from the acharyas. So that then becomes the basis of instruction for all those who are in the position of gurus. Means all administrators and brahmins and teachers and parents and, you know, any senior person. This has to be the basis of their instruction.
So then that puts Prabhupada in a very unique position. So technically this is called the founder acharya. Founder acharya doesn't mean just someone who just started up something. You know, you founded this. You know, the founder of New Vrindavan, or the founder of, he's the founder of EBT. Because it's not, the founder of New Vrindavan wasn't Prabhupada. The founder of, Inkalp is not Prabhupada. It's, you know, like this. They just use the term freely to mean just someone who started something. You know, it's just like, you know, then you could go over there. Giri Govindana is the founder of all those houses over there, because he was there, put in the foundation and started the whole thing. So he's and he's the one that all the laborers listen to, right? And he gives the methods and ways of doing it, so he's the acharya. So then he's the founder acharya. Okay? This is not what is meant by founder acharya. It doesn't mean anything in English, it just means that. Somebody came up with the idea and got some people behind it and actually got it started. He's the founder. But here, founder acharya is a special position, means his teachings is what everybody else follows. Like that. For as long as they're in that mission, they follow those instructions. It doesn't care. It doesn't matter what they've done or not done, they still follow. They could have opened, you know, hundreds of places and started all new projects, but they're not a founder. Because their teachings don't become separate from the founder acharyas. It's a special position. Problem is in English, the semantics of the whole thing becomes a little difficult. You say he's the preeminent, and this and that's people say, well, that's not really making his position, and all these things. So it's just English being a language with no father, then unfortunately, then, you know, it lacks the culture that is required for expressing, you know, the fine aspects of the Vaishnava Siddhanta. So so that level has to be clear. When that level is clear, all the other levels can be very clear. But if that's not clear, the others will never be clear. Then you have two levels below that. You can even say three, but right now, for instance, you mentioned spiritual, then two levels below that. There are those who are committed to help you personally go back to Godhead. They've made that commitment. You know, no matter what comes, they will help you go back to Godhead. Then there are those who will help you because they are a member of the society and you are a member of the society, so it's their duty as a preacher or as a senior person to help if you come to them for help. But that may be temporary. You come this time, you may never come again. You have a question, you come, you answer, they go away, they're happy, you know, like this. But there's no commitment like that. So one has to distinguish between those two, because both of these are Siksha Guru. Like your temple president, he's there. He takes care of you while you're in his temple. If you go to another temple, then he may never have contact, or, you know, he may bump, oh, how are you doing, this, that, fine, that's all. Or it may you have a relationship that's very deep, that doesn't matter where you are, they are committed to try to help you. So one has to distinguish between these two, like that, if you want to make things clear. Otherwise, then it becomes a little loose in it. You know, this one said, that one said, it becomes confusing. So you have to distinguish between the founder acharya, then those who are committed to help you, who are giving instruction based on the founder. They're committed to see you're following Prabhupada's instructions. Others may be committed on a longer or shorter term. You know, just you come to them, they ask, or you're into their area of authority, so therefore while you're in that area, then they will help you. But it may be not long term. And then, of course, then you always have the parents and other, any senior devotee like this, like that. So those aspects are there. Does that make any sense? Yes. Which is more important for devotional service, Diksha or Siksha Guru? Well, the Diksha Guru is Siksha Guru. But then besides the Diksha Guru who's giving Siksha, then there are other Siksha Gurus. See, actually the proper system is as you decide someone is your Guru because of their instructions.
then you formally accept diksha from them. So there you're a siksha guru, but this siksha guru you've taken diksha from. Then there's other siksha gurus which you may nourish your development, you know, depending upon where you are. You know, if you're around the person who gave you diksha, so much can be gained there. But if you're not, or you're in a, like here, a big community, then so many devotees are there, one can gain so much from so many people. Like that. So many times the difficulty comes as we see diksha guru just from diksha, and then siksha guru from siksha, but diksha guru also should be seen from siksha. Then the relationship actually is more deep. Otherwise, then the tendency is just, you know, they smile nice, so that's why they're your diksha guru. Like that, you know. And then when they give instruction, then it's like, oh, you know, what happened? The relationship changed. You used to smile so nicely. Why is he telling me to do something? You know, like that. Is that okay?
Confusion amongst Vaishnavas as to what is meant by diksha guru. Is it, some people say it's a person who is a one-off event, you get the name and you get a ceremony. Other people are saying it can take many lifetimes, it's the process of receiving transcendental knowledge. Does it matter that we, how do we get to the bottom of what is meant by diksha guru?
Yeah,
is it necessary?
Well, first thing, could you hear? The question is how do we understand what is the diksha, the definition of diksha? Because some say it means you accept somebody, there's a ceremony, and then that's it. And others say, no, it's lifetimes of imbibing the transcendental instruction. First of all, you have to clear away any motives to why one point is taken or not. If someone wants to establish their own philosophy, so then they take it and then they'll bring out, overemphasize one side or another. Like that. Siksha is the essence. Like that. And siksha means when you accept someone's instructions as your life and soul, that is initiation. It's not a matter of lifetimes to realize. It's not until you come to prema that you get initiated. It's when you accept these instructions as your life and soul. That's initiation. Like that. And someone may say, well, you know, I was new, I didn't really accept, so therefore there's no problem, I dumped this guru and taken that. But then what kind of a cheap disciple is that? Then why did you accept in the first place? Well, I didn't know. No, you didn't know. You knew you had to surrender. You knew you had to do. But the reason I was doing it is social. You want to be initiated. You want it different. You want to be some other Bhakti Joe, you know, like this, or prestigious, or you get the thread, or you, whatever it is. It's something mundane. Otherwise, relationships cannot be dealt with so cheaply. This is a mundane approach. One has to be careful of this. One has to be careful. The other side is that it makes it so elevated no one can get to it. Like this. So the actual thing is when you accept the instructions as life and soul, that's then initiation you can say is really happening. Right? But the point is because the conditioned soul has a tendency to avoid, you know, any restriction. Therefore, you may say, just like you have a gentleman's agreement, right? Nowadays, gentleman's agreements, I mean, you don't see work so much. They're not considered a major aspect as part of the culture. Previously, gentleman's agreement was very much, you see in the Shastras, a king said something, that was it. He would do it no matter what. Even if it meant he was great loss on his part, he would do it. Like Maharaj Janamejaya, he's doing the snake sacrifice to catch Takshaka. Only purpose is to catch Takshaka. But at the same time, remove all the other snakes. Because they're giving so much problem. You know, Takshaka killed his father. Takshaka harassed Utanka, the sage Utanka. So much problem was there. So then Janamejaya is performing the sacrifice. This Brahmin comes to the sacrifice. A young boy, but very knowledgeable and very well behaved and cultured. Now he starts praising the Janamejaya, praising the priests there, praising all the sages that are there, praising Agni, the fire. And afterwards, Janamejaya was so pleased because this young boy is coming and speaking like a very, mature and wise person. He said, I want to give a boon. And the priest says, no, you can't give a boon now until we've called Takshaka. Because they call the names of the snakes, you know, one by one and then throw the oblations and they come into the fire.
So then they finally they catch Takshaka because he's hiding in Indra's place, and so they can't get him. But then you know, so they can't pull him. So then the king says, well, if Indra is protecting Takshaka, who's such a rascal, then let's bring him also. So then they say Indra's name also, and then Indra comes with Takshaka, and then Indra thinks, okay, enough of this. There's a limit to friendship here. And so then Indra separates himself from Takshaka, and then he goes back to heaven, and Takshaka comes to the fire. So then they say, okay, now he's coming, so now you can give your boon. So they ask the child, what is it you want? And he says, the only thing I want is that no more snakes will fall into your snake sacrifice. It will be stopped. Like that. So Janamija, here's the one he's trying to get, is just in the air. Because the kid has said, let that be stopped, then he's stuck in the air. And so then, but it's waiting. If he gives the boon, then it stops. Takshaka is shaved, all the saved, and all the other snakes are. But if not, then Takshaka will come in the fire. But at the same time, is then the king, he said he'll give a boon. So he's trying to convince the child, why don't you pick something else? Some gold, some cattle, some kingdom, anything, you know, something like this. But, you know, let me do this snake sacrifice. And he says, no, this is what I want, you know, because this sage, this Brahman, he was the son of Vasuki's sister. So he's basically like the children of the snakes. And so it was his business to save them. You know, so then that was his duty. That's all he wanted. So then finally after, you know, many, many times it was seen that he wouldn't take anything else. This is really what he wanted. Then all the senior Vaishnavas there, like Narad Muni, Vyasadeva, and Devala, Sita, they all said, no, you give him his boon. That's the one. So then Maharaj, they stopped the sacrifice and you know, he got his boon. They gave so much charity like this. So he's given his word, he'll give a boon. And even though his whole thing is to do this snake sacrifice, to avenge his father and all this, but still it's stopped because he's given his word. Like that. So this is, you know, it has some meaning. So the thing is those who are very elevated, word has some meaning. Commitment based on word has meaning. But the difficulties, the conditioned soul, we see these are rare stories. Like that. Conditioned soul by nature is what's good for them today, they're into, and what's not good tomorrow, they change. So for that reason, then there's samskar. Samskar means that there's a ritual, external ritual, that then it's done and then there's a commitment. Yes, you are committed to this person. You know, this man to this woman, this person to this guru. Like this, there's a commitment. You know, we have done this and now this stone has become God. You know, oh nice, by your ritual, yes, stone has become God. No, by the ritual, stone doesn't become God. By the, you know, prayer of the devotees, by the pleasure of the Lord, then Krishna becomes the archa. But for the conditioned soul, the external is substance. And instruction is, you know, yeah, it's a very, like you say some nice theory, okay, we can do it by this, and this is the process. Ah, that's theory. It's ethereal. Yeah, it's just talk. You know, let's see some substance. We want to see some practical, like that. So that's the thing. We hear, it's nice, but when we have a book, it's solid. So because of the conditioning, then basically conditioning must be brought down to earth, water, fire, air, ether. Right? So in some space, right, then there was some fire, some, you know, akshman and some water, some earth, you know, I mean, wood and all these things are there, and then my body was there, and like this, and all this, and then, yes, something happened, substance. So, therefore, the ritual must be there. But the ritual itself technically isn't initiation, it's accepting the instructions as the life and soul. But, one must be very careful in this, is that that doesn't mean that someone who's giving instruction becomes the Diksha Guru. Right? There is a formal process of initiation for the conditioned soul that comes on based on Pancharatra. So that ritual should be performed. Then it's said, yes, the Lord then accepts that this is happening. But otherwise, on the transcendental platform, then there's connection with anybody. You can connect with anybody. We are receiving the instructions from Rupa Goswami by reading his books. You know, we're being instructed, you know, by Krishna from reading Bhagavad Gita. So there's no, on siksha, there's no problem with space, time and space. It's not. But diksha is limited by time and space. You're on the planet, they're on the planet, they've approved, you've approved, then you can have the ritual. Otherwise, it doesn't work on other than this. So, perfecting that divya jnana, that's another thing. So, we have to see is the ritual is initiation, but the instruction is the life of the initiation. Like that. Because the initiation means you initiated yourself who is in this conditioned state. Right? They didn't initiate you on your in your transcendental form. They initiated you in your conditioned state. So it's great. And then you have the subtle, then you have the transcendental. So the two go together. Like that. The diksha is for the purpose of the siksha. Like that. So one has to be very careful. Otherwise nowadays so many things are being bantered around due to basically what Prabhupada calls, you know, just a lack of poor fund of knowledge. It's cheap. It sounds nice and they banter around things. But as far as actual technical understanding, that many times is lacking. One has to be careful with that. Yeah? Does that make sense? Anything else? Yes?
Madhvacharya has stated that initiation there are two types. One is internal, one is external.
Mm.
One who, internal means he has committed himself to follow the Guru. External is the ritual.
Mm.
One who accepts only the external, he is a neophyte disciple.
Mm.
A serious disciple is one who accepts both.
Both, yes. Here. Like that. So we see is that it's both. Not that the neophyte accepts the external and the advanced accepts the internal. No, the advanced means he accepts both. Like that. So that's a good point. We also see is that internal aspect is, because it's a siksha, it's not limited also to one person. Like that. The diksha is like that. But the siksha is not. Therefore you see someone, let's say, who is in the line of Madhva, then they will take diksha from one of the present Madhva gurus. And they will take instruction from them also. So they will get both from that person. But at the same time, they, by that accepting the instructions of Madhva, they are also directly a siksha disciple of Madhva. Simultaneously. That's the achinta beda beda tattva. You know, one has to be able to accommodate that many things can happen at once. Seemingly contradictory can happen at once. But that understanding of seemingly contradictory must come from the acharyas, not our own makeup. So in the same way as we have our diksha guru, and that person is giving us instruction, and that instruction is Prabhupada's instruction. At the same time, it is through Prabhupada's books and instruction, we have a direct siksha relationship with Prabhupada. Like that. So both of these are going on, but the one means you accept it. And speak is one thing. Somebody says, yes, yes, Prabhupada disciples, but then they don't necessarily follow what Prabhupada says. So it's nice, it's a nice sentiment, but the real thing is and what they do, they have to prove that they're disciples of Prabhupada. But to say that you are, yeah, like that, that's the thing, by accepting the instruction, then that's very important. Yes.
Can we say that Srila Prabhupada is the only Shiksha Guru for the society? The rest are just trying to help us to understand Srila Prabhupada's instruction?
Yes, they're just trying to understand means Siksha. So we have to be very, very careful about this. Prabhupada is wonderful and everybody else is a schmuck. We really have to be careful of this, because it's this mentality is destroying our society. If anyone wants to know why the society is in a mess, simply this one thing, nothing else, is that people do not respect Vaishnavas, which is the symptom of very neophyte people. Doesn't matter if they've been in the movement 30 years, doesn't matter what they've done. If they don't respect Vaishnavas, then it doesn't matter. You can be a neophyte for hundreds of lifetimes, thousands of lifetimes. There's not a rule that after 30 years you have to be a Mahabhagavata. There's also not a rule that after one day that you have to be a neophyte. Right? So this is the only weakness. And this weakness is coming from one is conditioning, it's a conditioned soul, is because we're God, naturally everybody else is, you know, not so wonderful. Like that. But the neophyte can acknowledge, okay, maybe God's God, you know, maybe Prabhupada's, you know, very special. But everybody else is just, you know, so many words we could describe. Every language has their variety of terminologies we could give. But the point is siksha is siksha. It's special. Like that. It's Prabhupada gives the idea of the postman. Postman is just the postman, what they're delivering. One has to acknowledge that the postman, you know, through rain or shine or sleet or hail and all the dogs barking at him and this, he got you the envelope. Like that. He didn't put something in, he didn't take anything out. These things are respected. Garuda, he was asked to steal the nectar from the demigods so that he could free his mother from slavery. So then he went there, got through the demigods, defeated them all, broke all the machineries to get the nectar, took the nectar, and he didn't drink any nectar. So because he didn't drink this nectar, then Vishnu is very pleased. Because everybody else would have broke that, got the nectar, drank the whole thing themselves, and then, you know, who cares for anything else. And he didn't drink the nectar. So then Vishnu said, you give a boon. He'll give you a boon. So he said that you always, you know, you let me be above you. You know, so he becomes the flag of Vishnu. And then he gave a boon to Vishnu, and that was, he would become his carrier. You know, and Indra then seeing that he didn't take the nectar, then he immediately wanted to make friends with him. Such a powerful person, you know, respectable, high qualities. Even Indra would drink the nectar. You know, this guy doesn't, so he's even more respectable. So he has respect for this ability. And all he was going to do is deliver it to the snakes. So he's respected. He got the Lord's mercy for this and got Indra's friendship. Just for this fact that he delivered it, went to all the trouble and delivered it without trying to take or gain something for himself. So this must be respected. So within transcendental, then there are levels. There's levels within transcendental. So Prabhupada is special. At the same time as the others representing him, in this way they also become special. But they are special following. They are servants of that special. And others, and we're servants of those servants who are, and that's the way then. Then it puts it into a very nice thing, is that there is difference. Because the neophyte tendency, it's all spiritual or it's nothing. But the Madhyama is able to distinguish within spiritual variety. This is the specialty, like that. So if when one can do that, then the whole process becomes very much alive and nice. Then it's like you can comfortably be happy reading Prabhupada's books and this and that, at the same time accommodate that I understand this, someone is seeing that is taking care of that I'm doing that. Otherwise I may make my own interpretation, I may apply it wrong. So we're very grateful for those who see that we're following Prabhupada's instructions properly. So then because of what they're giving, then there is that surrender, this and that. Same as like if we say, I'm just directed from Prabhupada, that means that when we read something Prabhupada says do it, we have to do it. You know, not that we read it nice. You know, but it has to be done. Because otherwise, then what's the meaning of disciple? Does that make some?
I was thinking actually, the Prabhupada's book of instruction that they're supposed to, Ramanuja followers, they can give us some Ramanuja philosophy, which is, in a sense, a little bit different from Prabhupada exactly told us the philosophy. I was just thinking
about that. No, it's the same. It's the same principle. The founder Acharya is a principle established by the Lord. Like that. And we see specifically it's a process used in the Kali Yuga. Like that. Lord Chaitanya then instructed all those acharyas, the founder acharyas, you know, what to preach, how to preach, everything like that. Therefore you see that process is in line. So Prabhupada's the same thing. His teaching is what everybody else is following. So the thing is we have to understand that diksha is important. But of diksha, the instruction is important. Therefore, we approach a person who can give us diksha, who is speaking the instruction of the siksha of Prabhupada. Then we'll say that's a bona fide diksha guru for Prabhupada's movement. But the ritualistic side of it is not the major aspect. It's the siksha side. So that has to be Prabhupada's instructions. Like that. So then, directly from Prabhupada and hearing it from others, then both these are the proper ways to gain. We need both. One has to have both. Guru, sadhu, and shastra. So there always has to be there. So the guru is there, sadhus also have to be there. Because then, you know, that way then, so much more aspects of our life then we get in inspiration and direction. Like that. So they are only speaking what Prabhupada says and only representing. But that itself is something very special. It should never be seen as kind of like ordinary or common. Like that. Due to Prabhupada's potency, he's made so many people, he's made it common that you have so many devotees who know the philosophy and practice and can help us and all that. But previously you see rare, very rare, like that. So Prabhupada is, that's his potency, his specialty. He has done such a thing. So therefore, we also see that Prabhupada is represented in all these persons. Because when they speak what Prabhupada says, if we take the instruction as Prabhupada, then if someone's speaking it, then we also have to take that, you know, as representing Prabhupada. So that respect is also given. Then everything becomes nice, because then we become humble, we become, you know, very gentle in our dealings, and then everything works very, very nicely then, very, very pleasantly.
Maharaj, with your permission, can I make one quote?
Yeah.
What you were saying about the devotees taking other gurus, this happened when Krishna, Dukhi Krishna Das, took initiation from Hridayananda, the disciple of Bodhidas Pandit. And Hridayananda sent Dukhi Krishna to Vrindavan to take lessons from Jiva Goswami. And then when he was there, this particular pastime, he found the ankle bell of Radha, and he became by Lalita, they give him the name Shyamananda. And he became with a special pillar that was never going on. So then Hridayananda heard from Sol Sanyasis, they actually he has taken this name from Jiva Goswami. And they were so enraged, the devotees here in Goda, thinking that he has reinitiated. He got given initiation again to Dukhi Krishna Das, giving him this Yamananda name, this new villa. And all the Mahantas, all the devotees from here with another traveled to Vrindavan, walking, just to find out this was unheard. The Soman, after giving initiation, comes and changed his name by other devotees. It's because Lalita told Yamananda not to tell this, only to Jiva. But then when they came here, they somehow or other, Shyamananda getting into trance and asked Lalita to please let him tell the story. So they, because he was in such a conflict, he was going to go to hell if he was true that he took initiation from Jiva. It was such a big thing just because he went to another guru, even though his real guru was perfectly situated.
So etiquette-wise, one has to be careful. It means addiction means your connection to the family. It doesn't mean you don't have nice relationships with everyone in the family. It means you're known in the family because you're the son or daughter of this person. And then that makes you this person's cousin or this one's uncle or this one's nephew or this one's son or great-grandson or, you know, like this. That's because, and that connection, that places you. But that doesn't mean, that's still, then there's the relationships and the whole thing. So that's then the, that's another aspect of the diksha. Like that. Problem is because we take result, material result is gained by an activity, by a ritual. A ritual gives a result. So therefore then, the ritual of diksha, then we take it that that ritual itself is going to give us the result. So therefore, why it should be with somebody from around here? It has to be someone like Prabhupada or, you know, whoever. Like that. But this is the neophyte conception, because they're performing the rituals of devotional service and feeling that is what's getting my result. Rather than it's the endeavor to do it to please Krishna. It's the bhakti. Bhakti gives bhakti. The secondary results are coming from the secondary level. You perform pious activities in devotional service, they'll give you the pious results. But that's not the actual primary result of devotional service. The primary result is with devotion you performed it, and the result is you get devotion. So that's what we're looking for. So this whole discussion basically takes place on this neophyte platform of action and reaction. So therefore, Prabhupada has to be the Diksha Guru because that's what gets the result. But this is basically someone who's, you know, attached to fruit and results. And the, you know, a major reason for performing devotional activities is that they will save us from going to hell. You know, I do this, I'll get purified. Oh, if I fast in the codicil, I'll be saved from all breaking all the other codices, saved from all sin, saved. Rather than it's the day of developing devotion. No, I'll be saved from this. If I do this, then I'll be saved from that. You understand? It means there's two reasons you can do something. One is you see what's the progressive aspect of what you gain spiritually from doing it. And the other is what you'll be relieved from doing it, from the material contaminations and all those things. So the primary is the bhakti, and the secondary is, you know, clearing us of sins and other such things. Like that. So we have to be careful is that we approach the transcendental process from the transcendental platform. If we approach it from the material platform of action, you know, action and reaction, like this, then it'll always create confusion. It'll always create. Yes. It must be the last point.
Is it correct to say that Srila Prabhupada is Sampradaya Acharya on the basis that he has added a branch on the tree of Lord Chaitanya?
No, means so many branches are there. It means every time you have a branch, then there's so many branches. Means like you see Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and that's a branch. And then from him he has so many disciples, so many branches are there. So this is one such branch. But for us, the founder means is what he establishes, it always runs. It doesn't change. You can fill in the finer details, applying the principles, but the principles don't change. You know? And the major ways of applying those principles also remain. That's what makes the founder. Like that. Otherwise, then every guru in the line is special. And every guru is something special. But they will give instruction for that time, place, and circumstance to those disciples. Whatever they're speaking is truth. Other acharyas can understand what is the essence. Many times you see when the acharyas quote shlokas from the Bhagavatam and that, what they say is the purpose of this verse, and what we read is the direct translation. Sometimes it's hard to connect because they understand the purpose, what it's for. And the detail may be, you know, it talks about how the king acts. So then it's a very common thing that devotees will say, this doesn't apply now in Kali Yuga. Now, why doesn't it apply? Well, you can't have kings like that. They can't have big palaces and so many wives and so much money and crowns and swords. Because to them, that's what a kshatriya is. But that's not a kshatriya. That's the externals that match the mood of a kshatriya. The mood of a kshatriya can be applied any place, any time. You can always have that leader who protects the others. Even you have a gang on the street, they have a leader. And he organizes, and if anybody gives anybody trouble from his gang, then he'll see that they get corrected. You know, so it applies anywhere. The principle is there. So the acharyas are able to see that principle, and then they are able to give that to us. So then, for those who have a mission that will last longer than just their presence, then they become the founder of that. It's understood it's going to go for some time. So generally these missions are only run in the Kali Yuga. Other ages there's no need. Like that. But in this age, because of our lack of qualification, then you must have this. Because we ourselves are not able to distinguish. So therefore it's told. It means it's like you take up the Vaishnava dress when you actually have the mood of a Vaishnava. So that may take one day, that may take 20 years. But because how do you understand? It'll always be confusion, and then some people will cheat this, that. Therefore, we say, okay, when you move in the temple, you were dressed like this. When you get initiated, you dress like this. When you get married, you dress like this. When you take sannyasa, you dress like this. So then it just becomes very clear. We can connect it to something external. Like that. But actually, it's so the acharya founder, he establishes those things. And many times from one founder, they base it on other acharyas. You see Ramanujas based on Yamunacharya and, you know, a few others like that, many others like that. You know, same with us. We base what Rupa says, what Bhakti Siddhanta says, what he says, this and that. And it becomes good. Is that okay? I think we should stop here, otherwise it's going to... Mataraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Prabhupada ki, Samadita Bhaktivinoda ki, Jaya Jai Gaura Prema ki.